did y'all know anything about us helping Vietnam? Well, it has, that we started giving them advisors in aid of 50, and then the next thing it says about Vietnam is in 54, which is after the Korean War ended, in 53, it says that Vietnam was divided at the 17th parallel, and Diem became the premier of South Vietnam. And then in 55, U.S. advisors take over training in South Vietnamese Army. Like, did they advertise that, I mean, or make it known that we were over there training their army in 55? Or was all that kept hush-hush?
No, it wasn't hush-hush, but at that particular time, trying to finish up college, I didn't probably pay that much attention to specifics other than to know that, yeah, that's going on. But I wouldn't have remembered other than that when the French essentially pulled out and we were training the Vietnamese army.
But it wasn't kept hush-hush.
No, it wasn't hush-hush. As far as I can remember, it was of no greater significance than anything else going on in the war. The fact that Korea was then divided and a ceasefire line was declared. And of course, that official negotiation lasted for what, decades?
Did it really?
The fact that the economy of all Eastern European countries was going down the tube under communist control as communist puppet satellite countries and everything.
What do you mean Eastern Europe? Like where? Like,
well, Poland, Czechoslovakia, all of them. See, they were all under communist
control.
That was
in the 50s they were?
Yeah, just as soon as World War II was over and the Russian army refused to pull out of these countries and started setting up puppet governments in these countries, well, they became communist satellites. Eastern Europe, you know, the Eastern Soviet bloc.
So Vietnam
was just another, I mean, that, as far as any real significance of being on the other side of the world, it was of real less importance to us from a military standpoint than everything going on in Europe at the time.
And was the in Europe, because of McCarthy and his commie, you know, crusade, I guess that really kept things at the forefront in Eastern Europe then, if the USSR was setting up all these governments,
and
that
what?
Was big time publicized and stuff?
Oh yeah, of course it was. And of course McCarthy was trying to publicize the fact that the fellow travelers and the communists were deliberately infiltrating every union or organization in this country with spies or anything else to undermine the U.S. So that was really the cause, you might say, that the person went after.
Because, okay, he said that they were infiltrating our unions and stuff, under what pretense were they?
Unions and government agencies and everything.
They wanted
to overthrow this country. Ultimately, the communist threat was the total domination of the world. In order to dominate the world, the first thing they got to do is destroy countries specifically like England or the U.S.
So did y'all believe in that at the time? I mean, Miss P said that she did. Did you believe?
Sure, I did. I don't have any doubt about it.
So did y'all like talk, I mean like your neighbors and stuff, did y'all like sit around and talk about?
Well, I did. We were in school at that particular moment. Now, yeah, I suppose our parents or others did, and it occupied a lot of daytime TV. I mean, when television started, like I said, in the early days, they only were on in the evening or from afternoon into the prime time and sign off at midnight. Some stations in big cities then would start coming on in the daytime hours and showing movies, local interest type stuff. When McCarthy's hearings started, they became literally daytime television.
Like Oliver North.
Like the Oliver North or any of the other hearings. That was probably the first big time use of coast to coast televised live hearings, or not just hearings, but anything to do with government activity. It was notoriety, so they started televising that. And that occupied days and weeks and months of daytime TV time that people, if you didn't work for a living, or like we were off in college, I didn't see that. We really weren't aware of a lot of that going on. Didn't have time to worry about it.
What year did y'all graduate from college?
She got out in 54, and I think she's 55.
So that was the communist, when did the communist scare kind of come to an end?
When did the communist scare come to an end? In my way of thinking?
Yeah.
Two, 3 years ago when they tore the wall down in Berlin and the Soviet Union is now dissolved.
Did you think they were, Did you think they were over here? Did you think they had spies and stuff over here and all that time?
Of course.
Well, okay, how about...
It's just that it's a matter of which, over the course of time, it's a matter of which maniac's got his hand close to the button. It's going to start a war. You got to remember, I finished... Went into the military, and I didn't stay in the military. But what little time I was there was in SAC. In 2 years, there were any number of direct threats. We went through the first Suez Crisis, which is the time when the U.S. essentially sold England kind of down the river when we didn't support English. I'm kind of vague on that. I don't remember because I haven't thought about it that much. But, right after I got out of the service, the Suez Crisis occurred with the English and the Egyptians.
What was that all about?
I don't really remember, but any it's just like the Gulf War or Lebanon or anything else. Any other hostility that breaks out is cause for either a disjoining or a sudden disadvantage to some part of the world where economically and militarily you're going to get involved in something.
And
the Russians, Soviets,
thank you.
Throughout all that period of time, the fact that they were a military power could be a threat to fill into any void as soon as something would occur anywhere in the world. So the U.S. has always been more at its guard and on the defensive for these other things occurring in different places just because of the Soviet threat to come in and take over.
Is that why the Cold War, we haven't gone over, we haven't gotten up to this point in this history class, what was the Cold War all about? I mean, did that started after World War II, and it was just us being afraid of...
It was the term, and that militarily, the Soviets increased their influence in Europe. They backed the communist movement in China in order for the communist Chinese to take over and get the mainland China in their control. It was just simply a term that meant that they were going to war against us without firing shots directly at us.
Okay.
They were going to try to economically and militarily take over a certain territory.
How about about, okay, then when you were in the military, were the McCarthy hearings still going on? Because they started in 54. I mean, did y'all talk about, in the military, did y'all talk about communists? Did you ever think, like, did you ever think that there was somebody that you were working with or that you lived next to or, you know, that was like communist? Did you ever have any suspicions of?
Probably not.
Did you ever think anybody was a communist that you knew?
No. No.
Boy, that would be juicy.
I wanted to interject. As I was growing up and in the 50s, it never occurred to me to question parental authority, civil authority, federal authority, to question the rules, to question legislation. I personally, and I don't think among most of us, we were so relieved that the World War had concluded. We were so relieved to have the few loved ones who return. We were fiercely patriotic. We loved our country with a dedication and a almost a fanatical love. And when with Eisenhower coming in as a possible president, at the time that Harry Truman was to lose his election to Eisenhower, that was the first time, I think it's the only time, that my Dixiecrat grandmother ever voted anything other than Democrat. For her to have voted for a Republican was absolutely unheard of, but she voted for Eisenhower.
Why did she vote for Eisenhower?
For some reason, she didn't like Truman. When his term of office had concluded, I think she liked Eisenhower more. But I never, did you ever discuss that with Graham?
No.
Because that was very, and my mother voted for Eisenhower, and she had never voted anything but Democrat. Because in the Deep South, and especially my grandmother ate, slept, and breathed the Civil War, with all of her relatives who had died in the Civil War, and Republicans represented Reconstruction and all that was awful to the Southerner.
Right.
So she would never vote Republican, but she did vote for Eisenhower.
Is that how we ended up Democratic? Because of Reconstruction? Because of what the Republicans did? I mean, the South basically is Democratic.
That's my view of it, no.
Well,
Jerry can enlighten you. He's a student of history. And
no, I'm not so much a student of history.
He's a true intellectual, and he can tell you a lot.
Makes sense.
Well, to tell you the truth, growing up in Texas is not like growing up in the South.
It's a whole different country, isn't it?
Like the commercial says, it's a whole other country. Well, I learned more about the Civil War and Southern, than either, it doesn't matter which side you read. It was a period of time in history that you studied in the history book, of course. But as a kid growing up in Texas, from the time you were in early grades until you got out of high school, you essentially had the equivalent of about 2 years of Texas history. And I knew a lot more about it than I did about anything about the Civil War. So I was an adult and met Southerners, you know, after I'd gotten out of the service and went to work and met people from this part of the country. Because Texas wasn't really affected that much by the Civil War itself.
Right.
So, feelings of people in this part of the country, that is, that even though Texas was a member of the Confederacy, there was only one battle of the Civil War fought on Texas soil, and as it turns out, it was fought 2 weeks after the damn war was over.
Well, I see my grandmother.
It really wasn't that much. Texas provided mostly munitions, agricultural products, and support economically to the South, and troops, of course. But there were no battles except at Sabine Pass. The war never got any further west than just the other side of the river, so to speak. So feelings over there among most modern-day people and in our generation really were not as strong. I had grown up in Montgomery or Alabama or somewhere, I'm sure that I'd have a lot different attitude about the Civil War as it was.
Except for some diehards like Graham.
Well, but that was that generation, and they were closer to having seen and witnessed the Civil War veterans and some of the disasters that came back economically.